Airtight Game Show is brought to you by AirtightGame.com. The battle of the sexes is being waged right now and you're on the front lines. Airtight Game has a full schedule of programs to help you hone your battle prowess. The next Airtight Game Boot Camp will be January 6th, 7th, and 8th in New York City. So ready your guns, gentlemen, and we'll see you there.
Hey guys, and welcome to the inaugural edition of the Airtight Game Show. This is your host, Josh Maverick of AirtightGame.com, and I'm joined with Erock of the Long Island Lair.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And Big Win of the Techno Students Group.
What's happening?
In this podcast, we're basically going to talk about pickup. It's going to be a bunch of guys talking about pickup, having a bunch of fun, talking about realizations that we've had, experiences that we've had going out. We're going to have guests on starting as soon as the next couple episodes, and basically just bring you a weekly content based on what's going around in the world of pickup from all corners of, I would say the globe, but I guess the United States. I am based out of Atlanta, Georgia. Erock, go ahead. Where are you from?
Yeah, New York area based, so Long Island.
Strong Island, keeping it real up in the Long Island. That's mad fucking cold now, or it's getting to be pretty cold for wintertime.
Yeah, very cold.
Yeah, it's actually horrible. Horrible being up there when it's cold and being out. And do they? Okay, so they don't allow smoking in the clubs up there, right?
No, not at all. They haven't for a while now.
In Atlanta, we still have our constitutional rights, so we're allowed to smoke inside clubs and bars, which is, I think it has benefits and disadvantages. I remember when I first started pickup, just to quickly get into a little aside here, I actually would just hang out in the outdoor smoking section and just wait there and just game girls there. I guess I had this belief that it was like too loud or whatever in the clubs. So I would just hang out in the patio the whole night, just game the girls as they came out to smoke, and you know, they would go back inside, and then the new girls, you know, other girls would come out to smoke. It was like a fucking rotation. So it was kind of cool. So you have that up in New York, but then the downside of that is you also freeze your ass off.
Right. Yeah, and there's upside, too. I mean, I prefer not to inhale the smoke, so it opens me up to go into more places. Since they don't allow smoking inside, I can go in there. So it has its pros and cons.
You're telling me that you would not go to a badass club because people smoked in there?
I'd really prefer not to. I mean, I've tried that before. I've done that before, and it's not something I find pleasant.
So if a hot-ass girl was like, Ira, come to this club and fuck me in the bathroom, or then it has smoking in there, you wouldn't go?
What I would do is just find another hot-ass girl who's in a club that doesn't smoke, because I can do that.
There you go. Okay, all right. We got Big Win here from the greater Detroit area, is that right?
Well, actually, I'm at a truck stop right now. You know, it's in between Detroit and Chicago. It's called Kalamazoo. And basically, it's a pretty big college town. You know, we got Western Michigan. We got a couple other colleges. So on the regular, every semester, you know, girls graduate, new ones come in. So it's basically 18 to 21-year-olds year-round that are flown in fresh just for me.
That sounds horrible. How do you cope with that?
Well, you know, I keep getting old. They stay the same age type deal. And it actually, what's that?
I said it must be torture.
You know it is, especially when you know like all the managers and stuff at a lot of the bars down there or over here, I guess. You know, you get in for free, VIP, stuff like that. You know, it's just god awful. I mean, I'm kind of like a big fish in a small pond.
Nice. Well, yeah, I'm down here in Atlanta, and Atlanta's pretty fucking chill. I've been here for, like, 2.5 years now. It's cool. You know, for a big city, it's actually pretty small. There's only, like, for a quote-unquote big city, there's only, like, 4 or 5 places that, you know, I think are pretty fucking awesome. And those are places that you'll find me creeping around the corner with my dick in my hand, trying.
Nice.
Using your own tears as lubrication?
Using my own tears as lubricant. But other than that, you know, I mean, it's all right. But I enjoy, you know, I enjoy going up to New York occasionally, and, you know, especially when I have something going on up there. I'm working on putting together a program up there, actually, in January of this coming year. I enjoy going to Vegas, although I've been there, like, roughly a million times. I feel like I'm sort of over it. I need like, a new Las Vegas. What's the new Vegas? Is there a new Vegas in the U.S.? Like,
no, not in the U.S.
So you say Bangkok?
Yeah, apparently, I've never done it. I haven't done it yet, but apparently that's the new, sort of the new Vegas, as you put it, or Thailand in general, other places in Thailand.
I guess
they have white girls in Thailand?
There's probably all types. It's a tourist location for this. Certain parts of it are. It's a big, apparently it's becoming that, from what I'm hearing. I'm going to go check it out myself eventually.
I'm sure you can find some white girls there, Josh. You just have to pay enough.
And make sure they're not lady boys.
Blonde hair, blue eyes is going to be a little extra.
Yeah. I don't actually like blondes. Or blue eyes are okay. But, I mean, I'm a real big fan of the brunettes and the ravens, raven-haired girls,
yeah,
as they put it in the pornos that I watch. And, you know, brown eyes. Like, I love that. I don't know why. I cannot get enough of Caucasian brunettes. I was actually telling my wing yesterday that, oh, this is going to be horrible. I'm going to have to edit this out. I was telling my wing that if I could only fuck one, like, phenotype of girl for the rest, like, every day for the rest of my life, but I couldn't fuck any other ones, it would be Caucasian girls with brown hair. So.
Got black hair myself.
Is that racist? That's not racist, is it?
No, I mean, the preference. I don't think so.
I wouldn't, you know, I'm an equal opportunity seducer, so if there's, like, a hot-ass black chick, or like a hot-ass, like, Indian chick. Oh, I really want to fuck a hot-ass Indian chick. You know, then, you know, everyone gets an equal opportunity, but there's just something about, like, I don't know. I dig them. I dig white girls with brown hair. I don't know what it is.
Hmm. Well, at least you know what you like.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys out there that don't know what they like. They have no idea. They just, whatever I can get. And that's just that. You gotta have a preference.
Yeah, you have to have. I think you have to have like. I don't want to say a type. Like for instance, my wings when we go out, it actually becomes a point of convenience for us and for me, because like, we'll never get our targets mixed up in two sets or three sets or any set, like never, because they know like, this is the girl. Like Josh definitely likes this. This is the girl he wants to fuck most out of anybody in this group, and there's no ambiguity about it, you know? And I think that, for me, that works really well because there's a clear understanding, like, they know who my target is. They're not going to accidentally step on my toes, and also, they're going to do things to actively help me out because they know that's what I really like.
Which is good. It's always good to have wings like that. Invaluable.
I actually don't go out with wings because I feel like it can kind of hurt me at the same time.
Yeah, in what way?
I don't really. Well, I don't have friends that like some of my friends. They know what I do, but at the same time, they think it's silly and stupid and whatnot. And I'm just like, I'm the one that's laughing because I'm the one that's always going home with girls. I feel like it's better if I go on my own, even though I'm going out with my friends. I don't kind of let them in on what I'm doing. You know, they do their thing, and then I kind of walk off, and, you know, I start hitting on girls and stuff like that, and it usually works out a lot better for me, because I've had times in the past where, yeah, you know, they're my friends, and I'm sitting there talking to girls, but they come up, and they just totally self-sabotaging, and it got to a point where I was just like, all right, you know what, you know, we can hang out, we'll have a couple drinks, but, you know, if I want to go out and meet girls, I'm just going to leave you guys here and go do my thing. And they understand that, but I don't think they really understand it.
I'm just curious here. Do you think it's weirder because you said they kind of don't know, sort of. I mean, they kind of know, but they kind of don't know. Do you think it's weirder to exist in that limbo, or do you think it's possibly less weird to just come out and be like, hey, this is what I'm doing, whatever? Because for, I'll just give you my own experience. For me, like, with my older group of friends, like, way pre-pickup days, I mean, if I would have gone up to, like, random people I didn't know and, like, start saying shit, they would have been like, what the fuck are you doing? Because it was just, like, so far outside of anyone's reality, including actually my own, obviously, at that time, that I don't know, I think it could be possibly stranger to do that, but I don't know, what's your take on that, Big Win?
Well, you know, I have moments where I'll be sitting there on the computer and I'll be listening to some people, some of the other quote-unquote gurus out there, they post audio files and stuff, and I'll be listening to it, you know, somewhat loudly, my roommates will walk by, and they'll sit there and they'll listen for a minute, and they'll just kind of laugh and snicker, like, what the fuck, like, they'll look at me like I'm weird because I'm listening to this stuff. And in actuality, it's helping me a lot more than it is them. They're the ones always coming home frustrated, like, you know, why doesn't this girl like me and blah, blah. And then they have the audacity, after making fun of me, to come and ask me questions like, why did this happen and why did this happen? And I just kind of sit back and laugh and be like, well, you know, if you really want to learn something, you know, I'm always free to give you some advice, but actually I got to go meet up with this girl and smash her out for a little bit. So I'll talk to you when I get back. And, you know, I'll throw them little, they're always asking me questions about text messaging and stuff like that. And I'll throw that stuff at them just a little bit here and there to kind of help them. I think it's funny when they give me funny looks when I'm listening to like some same night seduction stuff, or I'm talking out loud to kind of gauge my own tone of voice, stuff like that, you know, speaking with emotion. That's another key thing that I try to focus on. For the most part of it being limbo, like weird-esque, you know, I still get that, but I keep my frame strong, because if I assert myself strongly, they're going to collapse because they have no idea what they're doing. So they're gonna eventually submit to it, is I'm pretty sure is what's going to happen. I don't know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm kind of in between, in the sense I go out with people who also are there to improve themselves in this area, where we don't actually, we're kind of do our own thing, although we're there together. We will, you know, talk in between, but we don't really wing each other, technically. We just kind of do our own solo thing and then come together afterwards, which is...
So you guys, like, you go out together, but then as soon as you get to the club, you kind of, like, you scatter like a bunch of cockroaches, and then when the lights come back on, you reconvene?
Shotgun scramble.
Right. Which, I mean, we've tried to wing each other at times, and it's just, that's something we, as a community, are, you know, need to rework on. But it has its ups, you know, it has its ups and downs. Obviously, they know what I'm doing, and I don't really care. I'll tell people exactly what I'm doing, even if they don't know. Like my friends who are naturals, and
I don't mean to interrupt you, but what do you tell your friends who are naturals when you describe game to them? Because I think a lot of guys listening to this would find that interesting.
Let's see. If they have any objections, which they usually do, I like to ask, so do you then believe that this is the one area in life that you can't improve through hard work and practice? And when you put it like that, most people will say, oh, okay. Not that, and I don't really care if they can accept it or not. But I'll just say that I want to improve this area in my life, and I'm doing it through practice and hard work, and I'm going to go do it now. And they have questions, and I'll deal with those as they come up, but a lot of time, I've had some naturals are like all for it, like, wow, yeah, it should really do this, this is, you know, sound solid, and other naturals are just like, oh, nah, it's like this, like, no, man, like, you shouldn't do that. So I've had all run of reactions, which...
They say you shouldn't do that, or I wouldn't do that?
That no one ever should do it.
Is it like necromancy, like fucking with the dark side, like something is like dire consequences to doing so?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you really think about it, as I guess I have, when I was newer, I kind of was just curious as to why people would have these reactions. I guess maybe it comes down to they're even threatened that they're going to have more competition because they see us, that people that didn't have as much success are going to start having more success. Maybe there's like something in the back of their mind like, oh no, more competition. So, I don't know.
The only negative response that I've gotten is of the texture that's like why would I, Natural saying something like, why would I even need to learn this? Which I think, I mean, why would you? If you're getting laid regularly, I suppose you wouldn't need to learn this stuff. But also, even to that I have to say, I see a lot of naturals, even ones that get laid quite a bit, make some horrible, gut-wrenching basic mistakes that make me want to throw myself in front of a bus when I see them do it. And, you know, maybe they still get laid anyway, or maybe they don't, but it's still like, I think any man, by studying dating science, pick up principles, psychology, social dynamics, et cetera, and so forth, can really increase the latitude they have, you know, with women.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I guess it just comes down to if you feel like you're getting quote unquote enough, whatever that might be, even though you can get more, you're just there's no reason, I guess, for those people who feel that way to put in work, I guess, is what it comes down to.
I mean, even if you're in a happy, quote-unquote, healthy, let's say, de facto monogamous relationship, I still think that the principles of the game can make that relationship richer and deeper and also, like, help you stay on top of your shit as a man. Stuff like understanding, you know, female psychology, understanding the way women work, how they react, what they say they want, what they really want, you know, understanding how to, like, frame control, for lack of a better phrase. Frame control looks a lot different in a relationship than it does in like, a pickup, but for lack of a better phrase. And I think those things can really enrich the relationship. I think a lot of fallacies that guys fall into, and I know I've fallen into this in previous relationships, even after game, previous monogamous relationships, is, like, guys get real cushy in their relationship, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm fucking this girl, you know, like, every night or every other night. You know, it might even be, like, living together. She's making me food. She's sucking my dick, all this kind of stuff. But then they get, like, real cushy, and they kind of, like, they fall off their A game. And, like, because I think as human beings, but also as men, we tend to think things are really permanent when they're really not. In fact, nothing is permanent. So we tend to think, oh, this is the way it's always going to be, and it's not. And they neglect the fact that there are guys out there who are trying to hit that ass, even if it's like your ass for right now, you know, and like she's getting texted by other guys and like she is getting game by other guys, even if you're in a great healthy relationship. That doesn't mean she's acting on it, but if you're not like on top of your shit, you know, she might, you know, it really increases that chance. And I think this is something that a lot of guys, they don't understand, and that's how that's one of the ways the relationships begin to unravel.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it comes down to, there's really nothing in life that you can't improve through studying and working on it. And some people seem to believe this is the one exception to the rule, which makes no sense to me. That this is the one exception where you're just, I guess, either you're born with it or you're not, which is totally not true. Why would there be anything in life that you couldn't improve through studying and practicing? It wouldn't be.
I agree. Big Wiz, any comments on that?
Well, you know, I find that, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this, my past relationships I've been having, kind of am shooting myself in the foot, because I realized I started to do it to myself, which, you know, I'm self-sabotaging, apparently. Well, I would get a girl, either sleep with her the same night, or, you know, the next day or something like that, and then we get into a relationship, and then a week or a month or something goes by, and I just get bored, and I just don't want to be in the relationship anymore. I finally came to the realization that I just want to sleep with a lot of women. I don't actually want a relationship at this point in time. Not to say that I don't want one eventually, you know. Every so often I have a thought about, you know, and this actually goes to my introduction, but, you know, I almost got married a couple years back, and eventually someday I probably would like to get married and have some kids, but just for right now, I'm having the time of my life doing this stuff. So I think there's a point in the conversation that I have with girls that somehow, instead of gearing it towards the, like, the same night lay or something along those lines, I ended up turning it into, you know, I want a relationship with you, and that's kind of how they're taking it. So, again, I'm, like, self-sabotaging myself, and I need to figure out what I'm doing during these conversations that is doing that to me. Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at.
And that bleeds over pretty well into the introductions portion. I know the audience has already gotten a chance to know a little bit about us through what we've said so far, but I'd like to take a step back now and talk about our own personal backgrounds, sort of where we came from in game, and our history and stuff. Either EOHawk or Big Win, don't fight over it at once. You can go ahead and tell the audience, take a minute or two to talk about your story, why you got us to pick up, how long you've been to pick up, and the experiences you've had and stuff like that.
Well, I'll go first if that's all right with you, E-Rock.
Absolutely.
Okay. I believe it was 2003. I was living with my girlfriend of about 2 years, and we worked together. She was a manager, and I was a lonely peon. And from that point, you know, we hooked up, and I basically moved in with her. Even though I had my own place, you know, my friends, I didn't really talk to them that much. Just kind of hung out with her all the time. You know, eventually we actually moved in together for about a year or two. And then she came back from a trip. She went out to Arizona. And she came back, and all of a sudden she's like, I'm moving out there in 3 weeks. You know, I want you to come with me. And I couldn't drop everything just to move out there on a whim. So we ended up breaking up, and, you know, she was probably one of the hottest girls she was the hottest girl I've dated. She was Filipino. So after that, she was Filipino.
What does that mean?
That was her ethnicity.
Oh, Filipino?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said she's still a Pino, like Pino Grigio, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck that means. So,
she's sweet.
Yeah, she's so wonderful taste. Light, fruity flavor.
Right.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. So, yeah, she's Filipino. So we broke up, and I was pretty depressed for a while because, you know, we were together for so long, and then, you know, we just had the breakup. I ended up having to move back to my dad's house for the time being because I quit my job and I didn't really have a lot of money. So, you know, I finally got a new job and whatnot. But, you know, one day I was on MySpace when that was still cool. And I kept seeing all these little advertisements with a female in a silhouette through, like, a keyhole. And it kept saying the game. And I kept thinking, I was like, I bet it's just spam. It's just something stupid. But then one day I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I clicked on it. It took me to Neil Strauss's website and started playing these videos for me of, I think it was David Faustino, you know, Bud Bundy, and then the guy that used to play Parker Lewis on Parker Lewis Can't Lose. And they're doing, like, all these, like, techniques and stuff to, like, get you to be more open and go out and meet people, and they're just doing, like, these really funny videos, but it's actually trying to, like, help you at the same time. And once the video series was done, you know, it gave you the option to buy his book, and there was a 30-day game changer type deal where it gave you, like, an exercise to do every single day. And so I bought that for, like, I think it was like 15 or 20 bucks, something like that, and started reading it, and I started doing a couple of the exercises. Because prior to all that, I mean, I would go out with my friends, but I was the definition of a wallflower. I would let my buddy, who's very loud and vibrant, going around. He's always talking to girls and stuff, and I'm just kind of the friend that just kind of hangs in the background and, you know, mean mugging everybody. You know, I started to do those exercises, and I started opening up people. You know, I did the standard opener, the shoebox under the bed with the old photos routine.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
No!
But this is when it was still pretty new, so it hadn't really hit mainstream yet. Although one night I did meet a girl that actually heard that opener before, and she totally called me out on it, and I was like, "Oh man, I don't know how to recover from this." But eventually, I learned how to recover.
Did you just walk away with your tail between your legs?
No, but she goes, "I saw that on a TV show, blah blah blah." And I just, in my head, I was just like, "Oh, so what do you think of that?" You know, I didn't let it hinder me too much, and I just kind of rolled with it as much as I could, to the point where her and her friend were like, "All right, we're leaving." And I was like, "Fuck." That was like my first big failure, because I had these girls hooked for like a good 20, 30 minutes, and then I dropped that one on her, and she just comes back and is like, "All right, yeah, you're done, dude." I was like, "God damn it."
I thought you were supposed to get that as an opener, though.
Well, I kept seeing all these guys walk over to their table, because it was a table of probably like 10, 12 girls, and some of them were dressed up to go out, the other ones were dressed in their pajamas. I'm pretty sure it was the NCAA championship game, probably like 5, 6 years ago, something like that. I sat down I kind of walked over there because they were sitting probably like 2 tables away from us, and I kept seeing all these guys go over there and get shot down, and my buddy goes, "You got to go over there and beat these guys." So I was like, "All right." So I walk over, and I go, hey guys, I was just wondering, I'm like, what are these guys saying to you when they walk over here?" They just kind of started chatting it up with me for a minute, and then I remembered to lock in, so I sat down and be like, "You know, I can only stay for a minute. You know, I got to get back to my friends," that whole standard issue stuff. And, you know, I ended up talking to them for a little while, and I started to run out of stuff to say, and so I said, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And we went into the, you know, the shoebox thing, and she's like, "Dude, I've totally heard that before." She's like, "Where did you hear that from?" And I was like, I don't really have an answer, but I was like, "So, well, what do you think about that?" You know, just trying to get her to answer, and she kind of like girl-coded to her friend, you know, "All right, this guy obviously just got called out, and he's not really answering me, so let's get out of here." So I got shot down, and I was so devastated, but I walked back, and my buddies were like, "Dude, you lasted there so much longer than any of those other guys." So that kind of got me a little bit more motivation.
Okay, and that was... That was back in 2003, you said, or?
It might have been a little bit later than that. It might have been like 06 or 05.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact year that I found that stuff. It's definitely been a little while since I've been doing pickup and stuff like that.
Okay, so briefly tell us a little bit about what happened in between then, which is beginning pickup back in the day, a couple, 5, 6 years ago, or however long it was. And now, so tell us a little about what, you know, last couple of years have been like for you.
Okay. Well, I met up with some people on Project Hollywood Online. Not sure if that thing's still going or not. And, you know, we've formed some friendships with people all over the world, and we've been actually having little meetups every once or twice a year that everybody can make it, and do kind of little reunion-style boot camps where we just kind of refresh everybody on, you know, what's going on and stuff like that. I've been to Las Vegas. I did a boot camp with Spear and Nick Quick from Same Night Seduction. I actually just got back from Colombia a couple months ago, actually hanging out with Nick and Epic for about 2 weeks or so. I actually have some really good stories from down there. I'll tell you what, the dynamic down there is way different than it is in the U.S. So...
You want to speak to that in a minute or two? I mean, I don't want to get too off track here, but I'm curious, briefly, how is that dynamic different?
Well, girls are super religious down there, and they don't go out without a male escort. Very rarely will you find a girl that's out there that doesn't have a guy with her, because it's a protective thing.
Is that because it's not that safe or whatever?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, it is it is safe if you go to the right areas. Obviously, if you go to the slums, you definitely want to be packing some heat, but, you know, we kind of stayed away from that. They have a really, actually, Nick just got a brand new apartment that's pretty badass from what he was telling me. I really want to go back down there and hang out with him. But where we were staying before, it wasn't bad. You know, it was a gated community and stuff like that. But as far as the girls, I mean, my Spanish isn't the best, so I kind of came up with a couple things to say. They would kind of come in and wink, wing me. If I couldn't understand what they were saying, you know, they would kind of translate it for me. And if you found a lot of the girls are pretty well educated, you could find a couple that would speak pretty good English. Other than that, some of them knew how to speak English, just not very well. So I would have to do more like body language stuff, more facial expressions, you know, mimicking stuff. So it was almost kind of like you're talking to like a 2-year-old, you know, that doesn't speak anything. So
that doesn't sound creepy at all.
I know. I was trying to think of like the best way to describe it. I was going to say a dog, but that's just me. So
okay,
I referenced the human.
Have you ever fucked a girl using some record low amount of English? Like, have you, or maybe not fucked, but like even just like make out or something, it's, you know, reasonably interesting off of just very little English at all?
When I was down there, yes. I actually met a girl. Actually, Nick told me, he's like, the best way to do it, he's like, is to meet him online and then set up a meeting. So I met this one girl, and she texted me and stuff like that, and Nick would, you know, text her back in Spanish what I wanted to say to her or something along those lines. You know, we ended up meeting up, but she came out with her cousin, who's a guy, and his cousin's girlfriend, or her cousin's girlfriend, and a couple other of their friends. And when you go out, the guy always buys everything. So they bought, like, bottles of aguardiente, which is their drink of choice down there. It's like Sambuca. It's actually pretty good. So I'm sitting there trying to talk to her in this loud dance club. And, you know, I'm actually wearing the infield footage camera and stuff like that, and microphone that Nick and them provided. So they're kind of going over my infield footage with me after the fact. But I ended up... you know, we were dancing for a while, and I just kind of, like, started, you know, puffing my shirt back and forth like I was really hot. And so I kind of, like, notioned her to, like, come outside. And so we went out there, and I just kind of, like, was looking at her, and she starts talking Spanish to me, and I'm trying to, like, pick up on what she's saying. I'm using Google Translate, so I kind of respond back to her a little bit. And probably, like, another minute or so goes by, and I just, you know, go pull the trigger, and we start making out there for a little while. And then... her cousin comes outside to make sure she's all right. We're just kind of sitting there. And, you know, she's like, yeah, everything's fine. You can go back inside. I'm pretty sure that's what she told him. I ended up hanging out with her the rest of the night. It was pretty fun.
Nice. Yeah, I gotta get down there, and I gotta check it out, because the American scene has been cool, but I wanna check some more stuff out. Like, I've games. The only real places I gamed besides America was I went to Australia for a little while, and I gamed down in Sydney. And the experience was not very different than gaming in the States, really, at all. And I thought going down there, like, being this American guy, having this American accent in this land full of Aussies, like, I thought girls would just be, like, throwing themselves at me. But it turned out, like, Americans down there are, like, fucking dime a dozen. Maybe in, like, the small areas, maybe, but, like, in Sydney, they're like, eh, whatever. So it was really as crazy as it could have been. And this is a few years back when I first started in game anyhow. But
England's good for Americans.
Is it?
That's what I've been told.
America's good for the English.
I know. I've met a few Brits in my day.
So I have a brief aside that I'll go into. That I think Iraq has, I told Iraq about, I was actually on the phone with Iraq while this was happening, where I, this is so ridiculous, I pretended to be British to this set, I thought a pretty horrible British accent, and I ended up getting this girl's number, and then going over her place the next day, and fucking her, all while maintaining the English facade, it's kind of, even while I was fucking her, it's pretty funny.
saying sane things, dirty talking in English, in a fake English accent.
That's awesome.
So
I don't think I've ever thought of doing that.
You're actually downplaying it, I think. I mean, didn't you have to also put that facade on in front of some of her friends, and her friends asked you questions, and
it was really quite the cheeky thing. So I met her and her roommate out, a guy roommate, who actually was her ex-boyfriend, like a long-time ex-boyfriend, like 5 years ago or something like that, but he was really chill. And I tried to pull her that night. It was her roommate who was her ex-boyfriend, and then another roommate that she had that was a guy. And her ex-boyfriend were mad cool with me. Like, the ex-boyfriend was like, yeah, man, like, yeah, come, we, like, you take her home, like, you know, whatever, like, you seem like a cool guy. Like, he was really fucking, really open-minded, like, really chill. The other guy was like, no, not happening. So I was like, okay, whatever. I couldn't win him over. Tried my best with my best English accent to win him over, and it just didn't work. So the next day, we're texting back and forth. I call her up, and she invites him over to her house. And she has, like, probably, like, 10 people over. All of her friends are over. It's just, like, a kickback at her place. Like, they're cracking open, like, beer, you know, they're drinking beer, taking some shots, and, you know, some people are smoking weed. I don't do anything besides alcohol. So they're doing their thing. And, yeah, I had to go there and put on the English accent the whole time. And I had to create a whole backstory. I had to talk to all of her friends about all this different stuff. It was like one, and one by one, her friends would like, I got there maybe at like 10 o'clock, and, you know, one by one, her friends would like, we watched a movie, we all watched a movie, and one by one, they would like pass out, or they all lived around the same, like a few houses down, and just around that area, so they would like go home, and eventually it came down to me and her, and then I closed her with the British accent, and it was hilarious. So, and then I slept over, and I woke up the next morning, and you know when you wake up and you're really like, you just fucking woke up. So I had to switch it on as soon as I got up, you know. And I don't know if she might have talked to me a little bit while you're like half sleeping, you don't remember, and if my real accent came out, I don't really know. But that was a pretty interesting story, actually.
That sounds pretty intense. Now, did you use English, or did you just, you know, speak regular?
You know,
they have, like, the idioms for everything, you know.
Oh, I use the idioms, like, taking the piss and all this kind of stuff. Like, I learned a few of the idioms. Like, I looked up some of the geography, because I chose this, like, small town that I had heard of. I chose Bristol. I actually heard that because I think it's the Bristol Air. So I chose that, the town that I chose. So I had to figure out where the fuck that was, because they asked me the next day, like, oh, like, where is that? Like, how close? And, like, you're not going to pull out a map and be like, oh, you're wrong. Like, but I didn't even know if it was, like, on the west side of the country or the east side of the country. I had no fucking idea. So I had to look at a map. I had to do a little intel. I had to look at, like, I had to get an idea of, like, miles to kilometers in case they asked me, because I couldn't just, I had no fucking idea what the conversion was, like, pounds to U.S. Like, I had to do a little bit of homework just to, like, make sure the con was going to hold, you know, was going to hold water.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that makes me wonder.
On the way there, actually, I called E-Rock. You know, I needed some moral support, so I called her. I'm like, this is a little bit cheeky. I'm about to go into this, you know, lion's den here. It was sort of interesting. And also, I'll end the story very quickly, because I know we got to get to E-Rock's introduction and then mine. She also asked me that second night that we hung out, we were cracking beers, and her roommate was actually reading about pickup. And so she was like, wow, you seem really friendly. And she somehow asked me if I had ever read the book or heard about it. And I was like, this happened just a couple months ago. So I was like, you know, no, what you mean, sweetie, or something like that. It was just a horrible accent. And so I was like, no, I don't know what that is about. And she's like, yeah, you seem like you're really good with girls, like, naturally. Like, you probably wouldn't even need that stuff. I was like, yeah, why would anyone even need to learn something like that? That's so weird. That was just adding, that was just icing on the cake. I was like, wow, this is really fucking stupid. And then obviously I fucked her and never talked to her again, because that was just like this, it was like a one-shot, it was a one-shot kind of thing, but.
Sounds like you went to quite the overtime there.
Yeah, it definitely was like, it was one of those, you ever have one of those sets, and this really, it invigorates me, and I don't know if that's addicting or not, but like, I hate this and I love this. It's like you have sets that like, at any second you could fucking lose it. For any fucking stupid-ass reason. Like, I'll get to a near pull I had last night. Where I lost it with the girls in my car, and I fucking lost it by some bullshit. You know, and it's like you're on the edge there, like the edge of the cliff, and if you just make one move, you fall off. But, you know, it's exciting. There's something interesting about it. And, yeah, I like having lays where I do very little work or you know, the universe is just like, hey, here you go, and I just run basic game, and it ends up working out. But there's something that... There's something sort of, it's like epic about these like tenuous situations that turn into these interesting stories. Like, you know, an interesting story is not like, oh, I went out and ran basic game and she was already sort of attracted to me and I fucked her. That's not interesting. What's interesting is these scenarios that, you know, are just really bizarre and extravagant that we find ourselves in when you go out enough.
Yeah, it's a story for the grandkids.
Yeah, tell my grandkids about that. I was actually supposed to write a lay report, but I still owe you that lay report, Yrog, about that.
Yeah. I would really enjoy reading that.
I still remember, you know, I usually forget most of my lays, like, within, like I forget a lot of the details that would make them pretty good within, like, maybe a week or two after they happen, so I got to be pretty quick. But this one, I still remember, like, it was yesterday, because it's just so fucking ballsy. I don't know, it was just so bizarre.
Yeah, it doesn't happen every day.
It doesn't, and... I'm not sure I want to do the facade again because it was quite a bit of work. I mean, it wasn't easy, you know. So, in fact, I still have that girl's number. I have her in my phone as her name, place I met her, and then English at the end, English accent at the end, to remind me that I need to use the English accent whenever I talk to her.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So. What are you going to do?
Alrighty, Rock, you're up. Let's hear it.
Alright, so I guess where I was coming from before the community was I would just get a lot of, I guess, scratch, really. Like, I had friends that were naturals, and if they would take a girl home, it would be a two-set, and they would really do the work, and I would just kind of take the other one. Kind of things like that, which made me really just want more. And I guess the actual, I don't know, I'm not sure if everyone has this actually, but I actually had a specific moment, like one moment in time where I made the decision that I need to do something about this and improve this area of my life, which was, there was three of us friends, like me and two friends, two buddies, and two girls, and we were all, before we went, you know, we were going back to their place, and before that, we stopped off to get some condoms, and a friend of mine kind of laughed. This is actually terrible, but he just kind of laughed and was like, Eric, I don't think you need those. So, which really just made me, you know what, I had a moment where I could have gotten mad and been like, you know what, and done something like that, but, what I chose to do instead was say, take that as a moment where I said, I'm going to take a boot camp, because I had some friends that were in the community already, so I knew. I knew what to do if I so chose. So I decided at that moment to take a boot camp, which I did a couple, like, maybe 8 weeks later or, you know, 8-10 weeks later. And so I took the boot camp, and now I'm about 10 months out from my boot camp after that. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm coming from as Yrog.
So how have the last 10 months treated you?
I've had my ups and downs. I over the summer I dated a pretty fucking cute girl that was, I think, Brazilian, which was like a big breakthrough for me. It could have like it had room for improvement. It's not like I'm not where I want to be, but I've had my ups and then I have times where I'll go through periods where I'm kind of just feel like I'm kind of in a rut that I need to break out of, like many, you know, of a, you know, 2 to 4 weeks where things like that happen and I feel myself needing to put push myself and make myself uncomfortable again to keep moving forward. Because I've had wings that have come and gone already. I had, you know, one wing that was like, that we work, like, you ever just have a wing where you just work so well together that you push each other and you just really push each other for more success? And he kind of dropped out for whatever reason, I guess work-related, whatever his reasons were. He doesn't really come out anymore. That was a little bit of a setback. That was a little bit of a setback for me, but it also can teach me to kind of do it on my own. So I've had my ups and downs, but I've had my first taste of success. But I just gotta, I'm definitely not where I want to be yet.
Nice, and it's definitely a journey. I've been in this game for a couple of years now, more than a couple of years. I definitely have had my ups and downs too. And for me, I've just recently got out of a relationship, and I wasn't going out. Like, it was a monogamous relationship, but I chose to be monogamous. I was the one who was like, hey, like, let's be straight up monogamous. And she was like, cool. We were open for a while. And so that was over. And so it was over about, I guess, 2 months ago. So kind of getting my feet wet again. And it's interesting having to go over some of the basics or the fundamentals, you know, after any break. Any athlete's gotta get back in the game. And it's been really a blessing to see the game through those eyes, because I didn't have that perspective for the last couple of years, because I was already pretty advanced and was going out a lot. And, you know, you don't, it's not that, like, you completely lose it, because you don't, but it sort of goes in the back burner. And when you try and bring it back to the forefront, it's sort of a unique experience.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, is I guess ups and downs are just, some people think it's not part of it, but I guess it seems like everyone has ups and downs, and when you hit it down, you can feel like this shouldn't be happening, like it's something that I'm not doing right, and maybe it's something you need to improve on, but I think everyone has those ups and downs.
And also, I think that's a great point, Iraq, and I also want to point out that it could be completely arbitrary. You know, I think as men, we have a tendency to assign reasons, specifically logical reasons, for why things do or do not happen. And, you know, this is an art as much as it is a science. And so sometimes shit just doesn't work out, and there's nothing that you did wrong. And that can be dangerous for new guys. Like, I'd rather have new guys be overcritical of themselves, because then they find their weak points and blind spots sooner than being undercritical. But I think once you have enough hours under your belt and enough experience under your belt and you know what the fuck you're doing, I think, like, that can actually harm you. And that's an experience I've had as, you know, what I would call myself an advanced PUA, is I've had that mistake of almost being overcritical of myself. And sometimes you just got to be like, dude, chill the fuck out. Like, it didn't work out. Not a big deal. You did the best you could. You followed the game correctly. And, you know, sometimes it's just, I mean, women can be like random emotional creatures that just, there's no fucking rhyme or reason. So I think that's an important realization to have too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, me personally, like, I've actually been told, not to sound like cocky or anything, but I've been actually told that I am too smooth. Like, the stuff that I've learned, I've like hit this girl's emotional buttons, and she was just real hesitant about, you know, sleeping with me and, like, making out with me. And, you know, I ended up just kind of talking to her a little bit a few months after we had made out. She spent the night, but I didn't try anything with her because I knew she wasn't, like, super comfortable yet. And, you know, I just kind of asked her. I was like, so that night we slept together, you know, I was just curious why we didn't have sex. And she goes, honestly? I go, yeah. She's like, honestly, she's like, a red flag shot up. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, you always knew the right thing to say at the right time. And it just, something about it just triggered in my head. And I was like, huh, okay. So then I started to think about other times where something like that happened. And I just kind of chalked that one up, and to why I was having some difficulties getting girls is I'm just going to assume that I was too smooth. I had the right thing to say at the right time, and it just seemed awkward. So I almost started to say stupid shit instead of saying, you know, the right thing that, you know, we're kind of taught to do in the social interaction. You know, I would just kind of throw something random in there just to kind of knock myself down as to where it wouldn't come off as, you know, scripted or rehearsed or something like that.
So. Yeah, I think that's a great point. This is something that I have gone over as well. Like, I originally got my training through Love Systems years ago, and so I was taught by a variety of instructors, so I took a couple different programs with them. One of them was Jeremy Soule, and one of the things that he told me about his own experiences was, you know, he's known for his day game stuff. And he kept doing day game, hammering it out, eventually got pretty good to where he's sort of like a community legend if you're interested in that sort of stuff. And he told me, he was like, yeah, sometimes exactly what you said, Big Win, he was like, yeah, I would get too smooth, especially during the daytime. He's like way too smooth, and the girl would be like, well, hold on, like, what's going on? And he said he would actually say stuff like, oh, my God, I'm so nervous, or, like, I can't believe I said that, or something like that. Like, he would just, like, act nervous or act like aloof for a little bit, even though he totally was, like, totally fucking chill because he'd done it hundreds of times, probably thousands of times. And he'd actually just do that in order to actually, like, add that element of, I don't want to say realism because it's always real, but add this, like, vulnerability, like, so it actually does seem, at least to some degree, that he doesn't do that, you know, 12 times a day, you know?
Right. I've actually kind of come to call it adaptive camouflage.
Okay.
It's kind of the way that I look at it, because, you know, you're always adapting to the interaction to ultimately get to what you want, and I'm hoping that the guys listening to this know what they want when they get into these situations. You know, do you want a girlfriend? Do you want to sleep with this girl? You know, do you want to make her part of your harem that you already have? You know, what is it that you want out of this interaction? So once you've figured that out, then you can adapt yourself to move the conversation towards however you want it. So
Nice.
That's kind of okay. That's my own, like, personal take on it. I mean, if you go in there blind, you know, yeah, I'm just approaching this girl because I'm told to approach all these girls. What are you doing? You know, you're just going to say hi to them? Or, you know, you see a really hot girl, man, I really want to sleep with her. Okay, so you just want to have sex with her? So it's a constant, you know, you're constantly adapting to try and figure out what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. You got to be, like, flexibility in life, I've found, is just extremely key. Like, just being really flexible in any situation. Like, I used to be this really uptight person. Like, everything's got to be a certain way, specifically my way. And all that really brought me was personal grief and despair and anger towards why things couldn't be the way I wanted them to be. And then people, you know, would obviously find me, difficult and, you know, all this kind of bullshit. So as soon as I started to loosen up a little bit and just be more flexible, I think not only does being flexible solve those issues, but it also opens up opportunities for you that you would have never had before. So I have two very interesting interactions that happened to me last night that I want to talk about. But before I do that, I want to actually pass the mic to one of you guys.
I mean, there's so many. I'm just trying to focus in on one. This one was actually I almost pulled a three-way the other night with two girls that I work with. I was actually, problem is that I'm, like, good friends with them, and I don't usually sleep with girls I work with anymore since my first almost ex-wife. You know, the girl I was telling you about in my introduction that I lived with for a while, you know, I kind of mixed the whole sleeping with coworkers for the longest time. These two girls are, like, pretty hot, and I have just been friends with them. We go out, we have fun and whatnot. Kind of started to look into, do a shameless plug here for a second, Johnny Soporno's stuff. you know, he talks about how to turn friends into friends with benefits and stuff like that. So I kind of field tested some of his stuff, and it actually worked out pretty well. I ended up sleeping with one girl, and I thought I was going to have the other one with me, but she ended up going back to an old boyfriend who just happened to be out at the bar at the time. I came really close to doing it. There was just some little logistical things in there that I just had no control over, so I kind of got shot down from that aspect, which a little disappointed, but at the same time, now I know, you know, what has to happen to make that happen.
Definitely opportunities for those things available, especially with two girls, and there's different ways to do it. You know, it depends if me and an ex-girlfriend, she was interested in other women, and we certainly went out on several occasions with the intention of bringing home a third girl. And with that relationship, we did not. It's hard actually, because I would point out girls and be like, oh, she's hot, and then, you know, she would be like, I don't like her, and then she would point out girls that's like, oh, she's, you know, she's cute, and I'd be like, you know, not really my speed. And so obviously I'm more flexible when she points out girls than probably she is when I point out girls. But yeah, and so it's hard to settle up on a girl. And then we actually ran several interactions with girls. You know, you get them, get some drinks, and then they're drinking together. And, you know, she starts grinding on the girl, and then they're grinding, and you know, now you're grinding with them, and you're talking, and you know, the girls are getting to know each other and this kind of stuff. It's definitely, getting back to the tenuous situation, it's definitely delicate. There's definitely delicate situations that, like, if you like, you know, the sort of fly-by-trigger, you know, seat-of-your-pants type pickups, like, try those, because any given second, there's a million things you got to fucking deal with. So, I mean, those are not for the faint of heart, at least in my experience. I would like to talk about, briefly, before we sign off this initial introductory podcast here, I would like to talk about two interactions that I had last night, which I plan on closing in the next couple days. The first one I talk about is, so there's this girl at the, so me and my buddy, me and one of my wings are at this club, and like we get there at like 1 a.m., which I hate getting there late. The clubs here close at 3. I really wanted to be out early. We actually this is going to sound fucking gay as shit, but we treated ourselves. We went to like this, like these saunas and like steam rooms and stuff, and like we went there like at 8 o'clock. And we, like, laid out and, you know, got our fucking chilled the fuck out, which was good because I had a really crazy week. And so we did that, and we got some dinner. And so, you know, things were shaping up to be really good. I have no fucking idea what happened. We went back to his place, and there's, a bunch of French people that he lives with, so French guys and French girls, and they're drinking, and I have a drink. And I don't know where the time went, but we didn't get out to the club till 1 a.m. So we get there, and it's packed full of hot girls. We're like, sweet. So he sees this girl who he likes, this girl who she's got this, like, super cute face, this, like, really fit body, brunette white, and she's got these, like, big black-rimmed glasses, like, almost kind of hipster-looking, but not really. She looks like one of those girls that are in those, like, amateur porns. So I was like, sweet. So but he's digging her. He gets distracted by this stripper that he met like a year and a half ago and almost closed, made out with, fooled around with, whatever. So he ends up going to her VIP booth and chilling with her and whatever, working on reclosing her or closing her again, or for the first time, rather. And so this girl was there, so I go up to her. You know, it's like he who opens the set runs the set. Like, if he didn't open it, it's fair game. So I go open her a game or whatever, and it's going really, really well. And she's, you know, playing with her hair, asking what I do for a profession, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm gaming her, talking to her, whatever, whatever. She, you know, some obstacles come in. She takes care of them. They leave. And then we're still talking. So I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. And then she's like, she says something like, so I have to ask you a question. She's like, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And I was like, yeah. I was like, sure. And she's like, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. She's like, I just found out my life purpose is to spread the word. She's like, do you want to go to church with me on Sunday morning? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go to church. I'm like, yeah, let's hang out. And so for people who know, anyone who knows about me, like, I consider myself to be a follower of Buddha, so I practice Buddhism, I go to a zendo, I do meditation, I believe in loving kindness, compassion, all that kind of stuff. And so in Buddhism, we believe that that Jesus was like a Buddha, and he was like a enlightened person. So like, I'm cool with J-Dog. So I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, sure. And so, yeah, so I have this, like, and then I asked her, like, what religion she is, but she was, like, she wasn't, like, Baptist, like, Southern Baptist, but she's, like, some other, probably, like, charismatic Christianity religion, but she's, like, really gung-ho about that, so it was bizarre, because I didn't expect it, and she's, like, this party girl, and she's, like, yeah, she's, like, I have this wild side that, like, you know, I'm moving away from my path, and, you know, I gotta stop this stuff, and so I was like, man, way to give me just all of the, you know, ways to make this work right here. Totally figure it out, right? Because I don't know if anyone's read Robert Greene's Art of Seduction, and I haven't. That thing's like a fucking brick. But there's a, like, quote-unquote type of girl in there, basically based on, like, the religious follower person. And apparently they're very easy to seduce because you just essentially transplant their devotion and passion and desire towards this God figure with yourself. And, you know, you make yourself their God. And so that's bizarre. So we'll see how much of that ends up working out. So, yeah, basically the prescription for that is you just talk about it and, like, accept all the frames that she's laying down about all the stuff and just slowly start to shift those frames. It's kind of like in martial arts where they say not to, where they say to take, like, the energy of the enemy coming at you and, like, turn it into, like, use their own energy into the, like, the counterattack as opposed to, like, resisting it. It's sort of that same principle.
Right.
Long story short, I'm about to try and smash the fuck out of this super hot, randomly Christian girl that I met at this club. And there's nothing wrong with being Christian. It's just, it was really, really bizarre, like, the way she framed it. She was just, like, really, like, it's really important to her. It's really weird. Either that, or if I stop doing the podcast in the next couple weeks, you'll know that I've been converted to charismatic Christianity, and I will renounce all my previous ways.
Yeah, I mean, you'll keep doing the podcast, but they'll take on a very different tone.
Yeah, maybe. The Reverend Josh Maverick.
Yeah. Yep.
I know how you boys down south like to do it, your book of Shaker and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, dude. That's crazy-ass shit. And then the second sort of experience last night I want to talk about is a girl that I met last June at a nightclub in Atlanta. I just went up to her direct, and so if anybody doesn't know this, then you will know this about me now. I like white girls with fat asses, and that's what I like. She's got to have an ass. She's got to be fat. But not a fat girl, but a thick ass. And so that's what I'm about. And so I saw this girl at this nightclub like back in June, and I just fits my type perfectly. So I went up there, I'm like, holy shit, you're fucking hot, like whatever. Totally direct on her, because that's what I do when I'm feeling it. So, and I number closed her pretty shortly thereafter. Because I was in the VIP, and I was just walking into the hallway to, like, go to the bathroom, take a piss, and I saw her, and I wanted to get back to my friend. So I number closed her. We start texting. She's from Alabama. She's from out of town. So we start texting. She's only going to be in town that weekend. I didn't get to meet up with her. And so she goes back to Alabama, and we keep texting, and we talk on the phone a couple times, and I don't know what the fuck happened, but, like, I dropped it. I know I got into my relationship around that time, so, you know, I don't really know if I dropped it or she dropped the ball, but, you know, we fell out of touch, and I deleted her number from my phone. So I'm out last night, and I see this white girl with fat ass, and I'm like, I gotta go talk to this girl. So I go up to her the same exact fucking way, and I go, holy shit, you're fucking sexy, I had to meet you, I'm Josh, what's your name? She goes, I'm whatever, blah, blah, blah. And actually, I did the same thing again. I was, like, on my way out. I was literally on my way out of the club because it was closing, lights had come on. And so I was like, let me get your number. And so I take your number and I call it, and my name pops up in her phone. So I didn't have her name, but my name pops up in her phone. And she's like, holy shit, I knew you looked familiar. And I was like, I was like, oh yeah, of course. She's like, yeah, that's why I came up and talked to you. So I tried to play it off like I knew it was her all along. I was like, oh yeah, yeah. She's like, oh, I know, because that's the same way you came up to me last time. I was like, yeah, see, I remember. So I'm immediately just, it goes from 0 to 60, because, you know, we had some juice in the past. So, you know, I give her a hug, and now we're holding hands. And so I'm like, sweet. And so I'm like, hey, you know, I'm trying to seat for the pole. And so I'm like, hey, we're going to go have a drink and then grab some eat. There's a restaurant downstairs from the condo that we're staying at, which is true. So I grab her hand and I fucking walk her the fuck out. And so she's like, oh, I got to see what my friends want to do. And her friend's cool with coming. So we bring her friend. So she got this black friend, which is, you know, chill. And I didn't know she has a third friend, this other white girl. And so I get two of the girls walking with me. I throw her in the car. And I'm about to, like, roll out. She's like, oh, we got to wait for my other friend. I'm like, what other friend? And then her other friend, like, rolls up in this car with, like, a bunch of dudes. And I was like, oh, fuck. And so it's just, like, horrible, like, cock blocks everywhere. And you just make it literally impossible for me to pull this girl. So I was just like, okay, great. So I tried to, like, text her on the fly, like, because she really wanted to come. She was, like, trying to convince her friends to, like, let her come. And I was like, damn it, like, this girl wants to get fucked now, you know, and I want to fuck this girl now. So and she's trying to, like, convince her friends, but I know it's not really going to happen. So I'm trying to text her on the fly, like, see if I can, like, like, drive up to wherever she's staying and just, like, I don't know, fuck her in my car or something like that. And I just, you know, just, like, the phone connection, like, dropped. I don't know exactly what happened. I know my phone died for, like, half an hour. And, okay, this is something I have to say. Fuck smartphones, because I swear to God, every single time, like, I'm about to get laid, this shit fucks me so hard. Like, my phone's just, I'm about to send it, like, we sent a couple of texts back and forth, like, I'm not going to pretend like it was looking good, because it really wasn't looking good, but I still had a shot, you know, I'm still trying to, like, fish through the logistics here, and so, and my phone fucking turns off, like, I'm like, typing in a text, and it's like, goodbye, and I'm just like, wow, that's pretty sweet, and then we have to spend half an hour finding a charger, and we find a charger, and then, you know, it's from there, it's just downhill from there.
You know, from that, I've learned always have your charger with you, because my phone battery dies within, like, 4 or 5 hours of it being off and me using it constantly. So I always have my charger with me, and I have a car charger. So, because that same shit has happened to me, like, countless times. I'll be like, well, it's 11 o'clock, and my phone's dead, and I'm nowhere near my house or have a charger, so looks like I'm going home alone.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what's really annoying? I have a car charger, and I let a family member borrow my car, and they cleaned out the glove, because my glove box had, like, my GPS and cables and also the bullshit and my phone charger. So they just, like, took it out, and they put it on a table that they put it on, like, a countertop, and they put their GPS and their stuff in the car. So I got the car back yesterday, and so I was like, I know I have a charger in here, and of course it's, you know, back in my place, not in the car, so I was like, it was just a conflux of, like, the worst possible things that could happen to you when you go out. So, I mean, I guess not worst. I could have gotten, like, killed or something, you know, seriously bad. But, you know, it's just, like, the most unfortunate series of events that happen. Anyway, as soon as I get off this call, I'm going to call her. I'm going to attempt to meet up with her for, I guess, like, I don't normally do dinners, but, you know, maybe we'll grab some food and grab some drinks. And I have no clue where I'm going to fuck this girl, because I'm currently living about an hour outside of the city of Atlanta. Well, 45 minutes. So, yeah, I really don't know. Who knows? I guess my car? I don't know.
Could be. I had a red roof.
You what?
I had a red roof in to use.
That's pretty cheesy, though.
Yeah, I'm staying at the red roof over here.
Yeah, you can always do the bathroom in the lobby of the Red Roof.
save the $39.99.
Yeah, why do you have to ask it, right? If you're gonna go that route, you might as well.
I don't know. I think I'll just let the logistics, like, this is a plan for failure, but I think I'll just let the logistics settle themselves out. I don't know. I have some ideas now. I'm not without ideas, and it's not the first time that... I mean, she's got to be staying somewhere, right? She's got to be staying in a hotel. I don't know. But she's probably staying with her friends, the two girlfriends. I don't want to deal with that. That's horrible. I'll figure it out, and I'll let you guys know next week if we even meet up. And then, if the meetup works out, then I know I'm going to hit that ass. It's just a matter of seeing what her schedule looks like and what she's been doing today and this kind of stuff. So as soon as I get off the phone here, I'll call her. We'll see what's going on. And then I got to call that Christian girl to set up church, I guess, for tomorrow.
Nice. Church pull? You got a church pull going on?
Yeah, I got a church pull in the works.
You get a person to place when you walk through those doors?
I don't know. I mean, I consider myself to be a pretty good person, but I'm definitely going there, too. For only one reason. I'm not really going there to hear the word. I'm going there to hit that ass, you know what I mean?
Right.
I guess people have done that before, right? Church is like probably the oldest pickup spot in the world.
Yeah. I guess they just don't admit it. Probably don't even admit it to themselves. They're like, oh, no, I'm just going to go to church. And then I hit. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. They just go, they probably just, yeah, people do that all the time. They just aren't as clear about it.
I think it's probably largely unconscious. Like, people don't treat church the same way they treat a nightclub, I don't think. Although, there is one church in Atlanta, and I won't name their name, but they're like, it's seriously, like, when you go out and you see everyone, like, at the VIP tables and, like, doing coke and stuff, it's like the church the party kids go to. And I'm not saying it's all like that, because it's not, and that would be, you know, fucked up to say that. But it's definitely, I mean, the church markets itself. They have like a singles division, or I don't even know, a singles event or something. And the church itself is over 50% singles. So it's like a whole fucking meat market. And if you go there on Sundays, and I've talked to a few guys who have, they're like these hot-ass girls who go. And, yeah, people do like that. That's like oriented towards like finding a guy or a girl. So, I mean, and it's mostly high-quality ass, too. So I have to stop by that church and, you know, see what's up and hang out for, I guess they have like tea or drinks afterwards or something, and, you know, try and, I guess you approach girls there. I don't know.
Get them drunk off that communion wine?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I don't know if anyone has perfected church game or not.
You can definitely do it.
Oh, yeah. No, well, not yet. It hasn't been perfected yet.
Yeah, that's the next project that Airtight Game is going to work on, is church game.
There we go.
So, for Airtight Game, on behalf of the Airtight Game Show, I'm Josh Maverick, and I'm joined by E-Rock and Big Win here saying goodbye.
Enjoy. Until next week.
All right, guys.
Yes.
See you later.
Until we meet again.